Welcome to another new episode of Take a Shelfie, the podcast about beer and bottle shops and friendship. I'm Jeff Martin, and with me, as always, is a man who, as of today, has kept another human alive for an entire year, Matt Prince.
That's true. It's my son's first birthday, which is great. And how am I spending it? I'm recording a podcast.
Congratulations. Well, you did have a nice outdoor socially responsible party yesterday from the pictures I saw.
Yes, we did. It was a lot of fun, and we actually moved it to yesterday because originally the weather was not supposed to be good today, but it is immaculate outside, so we really didn't need to switch it, but that's okay because I'm here with you today.
And there are a few better places to be. One of the places that is better to be is, of course, a bottle shop, which is the whole point of this whole podcast. But as we sit here, we are still in, this whole pandemic thing, and it's been a while since we've been in a bottle shop, especially together. So, Matt, we're sort of running thin on ways to talk about bottle shops without having been to one. So I wanted to run something by you.
Please do.
I wanted to start. We've talked about doing this series of episodes where we talk about styles of beer.
Yeah.
And I thought we could get started today by just talking about a style, talking about the commercial types that are available, talk about the history of the style, what are some nationally available ones, what are some real good local ones, and I have a way to decide what the style is, too.
Well, you intrigue me.
There are about 34 styles as defined by the BJCP, Beer Judges Certification Program.
Okay.
And I have an app here where it tells me all the styles. And I also have a 20-sided die and a 12-sided die. And I figured if I just rolled those and added the numbers, we could just pick a style and start talking about it.
Jeff, I don't know how you came up with that and why you have all these different die, but okay, let's roll with it.
Also, during the pandemic, I have started to play Dungeons & Dragons, and so I now have these dice that I don't know what to do with otherwise. So I'm now finding another use for the dice, because why have a unitasker in your house when you can have multitaskers? A 20 and a 12 only gets us up to 32, so wood beers and specialty beers, sorry, we'll just pick a time and we'll talk about you.
Fair
enough.
But
here we go. Let's roll the dice.
Let's do it.
All right, so we have a 19 and a 6, and that brings us to 25, and that brings us to Strong Belgian Ale. And as always, there are subcategories with it, Matt, so I'm going to give you the choice of subcategory.
Okay.
Within Strong Belgian Ale, there's the Belgian Blonde, there's the Saison, and there's the Belgian Golden Strong Ale. And I could talk for hours about either. I mean, I'm a Belgian fan, so I'm going to give this to you.
Well, Jeff, I also like Belgian beers. I'm not at the point that you're at, but that's fine. I would like to talk about Saisons.
Why did you pick Saisons of all these three choices?
Well, first of all, I love Saisons. I really, really like the style. And also, to me, spring into summer is a perfect time to enjoy a Saison. So what better time to discuss than now? And hopefully I have one in my fridge. Hopefully I have something I can enjoy to kind of get into the spirit. So I'm going to take a look in just a minute. Jeff, do you have a beer? Are you drinking a beer?
I am. I'm drinking not a Saison, unfortunately.
Okay. That's okay.
I didn't know we were doing this ahead of time. But I'm drinking Torque Wrench by Industrial Arts.
Oh, that is a great beer.
You reviewed Wrench itself. Wrench, yes. In its standard form on our website, shelfiepodcast.com. And I guess I read that, and I was at the bottle shop and just walking through, and I was grabbing a couple things, and Torque Wrench was sitting there. I'm like, I'm going to grab this because I can't recall how many Industrial Arts I've had, but it's great. You open this beer up and you just smell a whole ton of tropical fruits. It's an assault of tropical fruits.
Yeah, I've had that beer before. I've really enjoyed it before. I'm going to look into my fridge right now and see if I can find a Saison.
And while you're doing that, Matt, I'm just going to run through the history of the Saison as written by this BJCP app. a Provision ale originally brewed in Wallonia, the French-speaking part of Belgium, for consumption during the active farming season. That certainly makes sense. Originally a lower alcohol product so as not to debilitate field workers, but tavern strength products also existed. Higher strength and different colored products appeared after World War II. Then it starts talking about, well, I'll do this. The best known modern Saison, Saison DuPont, was first produced in the 1920s. Originally a rustic artisanal ale made with local farm-produced ingredients, it is now brewed mostly in larger breweries, yet retains the image of its humble origins. So let's throw DuPont out of the, you know, widely available, widely known. DuPont is well-known, Saison DuPont, and is terrific and is wonderful, but you have now poured yourself a Saison. Tell me what it is.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm lucky because I do have a Saison in my fridge. And I'm actually really excited about the Saison that it is, because it really will feed into our conversation about how this style has kind of has changed on its way over from Belgium to the United States. This is from Boulevard Brewing Company. And Boulevard is...
Tank 7?
Yeah, it's Tank 7. It is Tank 7. And this is brewed in Kansas City, Missouri. This is one of the more well-known American Saisons. They even call it an American Saison, which I appreciate, because they are getting out of the way right off the bat that it's an American take on a Belgian style. So I'm going to pour this and enjoy this while we talk. Ooh, talk about fruity esters.
Yeah, so yeast is a big factor in any Belgian beer.
Yes.
It's especially important for Saisons. Saisons tend to be fermented warm. Like they said, it was brewed during the farming season, so it was warm out. They certainly didn't have temperature control. And so Saisons are fermented warm, and that really gives the yeast a chance to express itself with the esters and the phenolics. And it's just a good Saison to me is dry. It's got really earthy notes. Some peppery, spicy notes, like black pepper is something that I associate with Saisons a lot. Are you getting that from Tank 7?
You know, I am. And it is dry. I mean, it's bone dry. But I've always found Saisons, you know, a lot of people, when they hear that in their head, they think dry. They don't think refreshing. They think, oh my God, this is going to just sit kind of, it's just going to sit in my mouth and just kind of dehydrate me. But these beers... that's not true. First of all, that's not true. And these beers, like you mentioned, they were brewed specifically for the farm workers to drink after they were done in the fields. And they would brew this at the end of winter. I do know that they brewed at the end of winter. Saison, I'm not sure if you said this in your explanation. I can't remember. It means season in French. So it's brewed at the end of winter, and it was brewed specifically for the summer season, when all the farm workers were out in the fields in those long, hot days. And then when they were done, they'd come into the barn and they would enjoy a Saison. And not only that, but each farm would have their own distinct Saison. So it's not like you would go out and get it from somewhere, or there were breweries that were doing this. They would brew it in the farm, and every farm you worked at had its own Saison, which I think is, there's something very romantic about that, that this was more than a beer. This was a lifestyle. This was, you know, just part of a day. And, you know, we think about beer as kind of part of our day sometimes, you know, when you have a long day or you just want to have a beer with dinner. But this was part of their work. This was after, it was, talk about a well-earned beer. Saison is a well-earned beer, if you really want to think about it, because they worked in the field all day. So I'm getting all those nice peppery notes. It is dry. There is a lot of earthiness, earth tones, and the fruitiness is definitely there. You know, typically Saisons are lower ABV, but this is 8.5%. So this will, you know, this is not one that the farm workers could pound a bunch back after a long day of work. This one's a little bit higher alcohol, which is something that's happened to Saisons as they've come over here to the United States.
No, like the BJCP says, it was after World War II where you started to see these higher ABV Saisons come around and You know, when I'm thinking of a Saison right now, I'm usually thinking, I don't know, somewhere around 5.5, 6.5. That's about where I drink my Saisons. It's a great beer. Also, an interesting thing about Saisons is a lot of people who make them use open fermentation. It really encourages some cool, funky flavors, and some really deep attenuation to happen. Attenuation, of course, means, you know, how much sugar the yeast eats and turns into alcohol. Saison is it's one of my favorite styles for sure. It's one that I picked up early in my craft beer drinking habit. I think the first thing I really started to enjoy a lot was the West Coast IPAs, and that holds true to today. But when I started enjoying craft beer, the New England wasn't around. And so though I'm drinking one of those today, I think the second style that I really started to go for was the Saison, and it's still one that I deeply, deeply enjoy. Matt, what are some commercial Saisons that you really enjoy other than this Tank 7?
The one that comes to my mind, and the brewery that I always, that to me is so synonymous with Saisons, is Omegang.
And of course,
Hennepin being their flagship Saison. Omegang is a European-focused, really Belgian-focused brewery in Cooperstown, New York. And a lot of people, that is their first exposure to the style, is Hennepin. And that was one of my first exposures to the style, because I really got into Omegang. I really appreciated their kind of, they kind of let the earth kind of dictate their beer. Very seasonal with their beers, and I love that, and they continue to do it. So first time I had Hennepin, I just remember thinking, this is different, and I got the pepper notes, and I got those earthy, fruity esters, and I just remember thinking, this is different, but it's really, really good. So when I think of Saisons, I immediately think of Brewery Omegang, and I think of Hennepin, and of course Tank 7, so which is why I picked this up, because it's a beer I've had before. How about you? Is there any commercial interpretations of the Saison that you really enjoy?
One that really has a special place in my heart is Sophie from Goose Island. And I know we have come to a point of disagreement about Goose Island, where you don't drink them so much anymore because they are owned in large part by the big beer boys. But Goose Island was one of the... I took a trip to Chicago and I visited Goose Island well before it was bought, when it was still independently owned. And I really enjoyed their beers. And then a friend of mine, when he got married, gave all his groomsmen liquor as a gift. And he knows that I don't drink liquor, so he gave me a couple 4-packs of Goose Island's wild ales, Prerojaka, Pepinero, Matilda, and Sophie. And Sophie, and each of these beers ages for up to 5 years in the bottle. And so what I decided to do was take that Sophie, put it in my cellar, and open it each year on his anniversary.
Oh, that's a really nice idea.
Which is in November, so it's not really the best time to drink a Saison, but I'll tell you what, that beer ages beautifully. And so every so often, if I'm out and I see a 4-pack of Sophie, I'll grab it and I'll put it away. And I won't even touch it for 2 years. I'll just leave it be and start drinking it 2 years later. And, you know, up to 5-6 years after I've bought it is when I actually have one in the fridge right now. I should go down and get it, but it's a little higher proof. I don't know if necessarily higher proof than this 8.2% that I'm drinking right now, but I've chose my beer for this recording.
You have. And it was a good choice. It just doesn't match what we're talking about, but that's okay.
No, it proves our spontaneity, if anything else.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I'm drinking literally the one Saison that I have. One Saison that's in my fridge. Now, you mentioned cellaring. Saison is one of those styles that you can put away, keep in a dark, you know, cool place, and, you know, you can enjoy it years later. I mean, just considering what I have in my stash right now, I've got a bottle of Urizen from Tired Hands that's a year old. I've got a couple, another Saison from Tired Hands that's about a half, about 6 months. And I've got a Saison from another local brewery called Forest in Maine that I've had for close to a year. And I don't want to touch them. Like when I heard Saison, I was like, well, do I try to like throw in the fridge real quick? No, I don't want to do that. Like those are the kind of beers you want to let sit and you want to just see what happens when you open them. And it's kind of exciting to consider the possibilities.
Sure. And Tired Hands is of course known for their French and Belgian style beers. They really pay great attention to that. For as much as their, you know, experimental culinary IPAs have captured people's attention, I think what excites the brewers is those French style beers, and they absolutely do a great job of it.
I mean, the head brewer of Tired Hands, Jean Brolet, I mean, he is French, so it's a style that he really clings to. It's a style that he really can identify with, and everyone always thinks about the, you know, the milkshake IPAs like you were just referencing, but they have, you know, probably a dozen to 15 bottled Saisons in their general store at all times, and they are just really delightful beers. And you know, you like to think that great breweries like that will get notoriety where it's due, but I think that sometimes any great brewery that brews Saisons like that, they don't always get the notoriety that they deserve.
Well, we're talking about sort of these, you know, I sort of think of Tired Hands as a cult brewery, for better or worse, and I am sometimes part of the cult, so I'm not ashamed to call it that. But while we're talking about cult breweries and Saisons, I was in Boston and I went to Trillium Cult Brewery, and I had Free Rise, which is their Saison. And Free Rise is, I believe, named so because they just allow the temperature of the fermentation to rise freely, and you know that's what gives off the characteristics. But the version I had of Free Rise was dry hopped with Mosaic. And so, Matt, I'm curious if you have any thoughts about putting different hops into Saison. Do you think a Saison needs to stay true to form, or are you sort of cool with it, you know, living in all different areas of the hop world?
You know, I'm kind of mixed on this. I love a good classic Saison. I mean, to me, there's something, and I use this word already, but I'm going to do it again. There's something romantic about enjoying a classic Saison because it elicits a memory that's not our own. It elicits the idea of what a Saison is. It elicits that idea that workers would be in the fields for hours and hours and hours, and then they'd be rewarded with this thirst-quenching Saison. But I also appreciate, the evolution of beer. I appreciate the fact that brewers are taking classic styles and putting their own spin on it and a more modern spin. And let's be real. I mean, beer drinkers these days, they want to drink those trendier hops. They want, when they see words like Citra or Mosaic or Galaxy or Idaho 7, you know, or Motueka, or, you know, all these trendy hops, it gets them excited. So maybe a style like Saison that they wouldn't have previously gone for, maybe now they're drinking it, and maybe that's a gateway Saison for them. And then maybe they want to explore the style. So if that's the payoff from that, then I'm all about it. But there's something about a classic take on the style that I really appreciate.
It certainly reminded me to go back and try more Saisons. I don't think I had had one in a while, but you know, I checked it in February of last year, and I rated it as 4.5 on Untappd, and I said Saison with Mosaic. Did someone hack my dream journal?
Exactly. Because, so, you know, there it is.
Yeah, it was sort of like the inclusion of Mosaic was an excuse for me to drink a Saison again and remember what is special about that style. What are some other ones that are sort of great for you, Matt?
You know, I really, we're lucky, Jeff. We live in a spot where there are some breweries that are really have keyed in on the style. And there's one that I'd be remiss if I did not mention, and that is Forest in Maine. They are a Saison first brewery. When I went there before they started brewing hazy IPAs, they were all European. I remember walking in there and thinking, what is this place? It's in an old Victorian house. And I just remember sitting down, you're like in the living room, and it's, I mean, it's not like a modern house. This is of the style. And, you know, I remember looking at the list and it's like European beers. There was English beers and then there was Belgian beers. Those were like the two sub categories. And I just remember thinking, this is awesome. Like, this is so unlike anything I am used to, but this is great. And they have pint glasses and they have t-shirts that say, I believe in Saison. So...
Really?
Yes. And it's awesome. And they have, you know, they are so, like, if you ask them what style they are the most proud of and they enjoy brewing the most, it's Saisons. And I have one sitting underneath, you know, underneath my bar right now where I'm standing that I can't wait to enjoy one day. They collaborated with a local meadery. So and there's going to be a lot of weird stuff going on with that beer. But I really appreciate the fact that they make these beautiful, layered, expressive saisons that just kind of every sip is a new sensation. And we're just we really are lucky. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, I live in your treehouse or I'm in New York, so I live in our other half. But like, if we're talking just about saisons here, you know, we are at the epicenter, you know, in terms of the American saison, because between Forest and Maine, Tired Hands, and I'll even throw in a brewery that many people have never heard of, Fermentary Form in Philadelphia, which they call themselves an urban farmhouse brewery. We have three of, to me, the best saison producers that exist in our country. So I think we're pretty damn lucky.
Now, Matt, I think it's sort of my responsibility before we finish up, and as I watch you pour the rest of your Tank 7, to, you know, remind ourselves that this is a podcast primarily about bottle shops. And I want to talk quickly about one that should be available at most bottle shops, and that is Colette Farmhouse Ale from Great Divide. Great Divide, of course, out of Denver, so it should be mostly available. It makes its way all the way here to Philadelphia, so why shouldn't you be able to get it? You know, I've had that beer a couple times. I think it's just like super drinkable. It's nice and light, but it's just like got a little bit of that farmhouse saison character. So I think it's like approachable and a way into the style. So, you know, if people have listened to this episode and, you know, you haven't had a saison before and, you know, you're thinking maybe I'd like to get into that, I'd say maybe look for Colette, because I think Colette is a good way in.
And, you know, Jeff, I don't want to let this episode go without mentioning the fact that when you're drinking Saison, it's a great style to drink while you're eating food. You know, a good meat and cheese board is the perfect way to bring out different flavors in a Saison. It's the kind of beer that, like a wine, you can pull out flavor based on what you're eating. And I encourage people, go get a couple big bottles of Saison. Go get some meat. Go get some cheese. Go get some, you know, mustard and jams and, you know, little crusty bread. And figure out what combination gets you to that place of, like, euphoria. Because you're going to get there with this style of beer, with a little snack to go with it. To me, like, this is the perfect get 5 bottles, 6 bottles, 7 bottles of Saison. Invite some friends over when the pandemic's over. Get some meats and, you know, have a cheese board, you know, charcuterie, and just like enjoy. Before you know it, the beer is going to be gone, the food's going to be gone, and you will have had a really delightful experience. And it's the perfect party beer. It's accessible, and it really is to be enjoyed with a nice meal or, you know, a nice snack. And when you said Saison, well, this was a style we picked, it just immediately made me think of a time when we can congregate again and drink beer together and eat food together and enjoy each other's company. So that, to me, Saison is kind of like a great beer for that.
It really is the wine drinker's beer, or maybe the wine drinker's way into beer, because it really is a complex style that you can find a lot of different ways to enjoy. And listeners, we hope that you've enjoyed this walk through a style. It is a idea that we sort of randomly came up with as a format for an episode, and then the style itself was randomly chosen by the dice. We hope to do this for as many styles as we can think of, as many styles as the dice will tell us, as many styles as you will listen to. Please join us on our social media at Shelfie Podcast on Instagram. Please join us at shelfiepodcast.com, where you can read reviews of beers that we've drank. You can listen to our episodes in full. You can comment on the episodes and tell us what you think of our terrible beer opinions, things that you might agree with. Who knows?
Hey, discuss it, you know, argue with us. That means you're listening.
If you're arguing, you're listening, and that's good enough for us. You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get fine podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Music, whatever all the things are called. It's even on Spotify. So go ahead and listen to us wherever and whenever you can. Until next time, I'm Jeff Martin.
And I'm Matt Prince.
Cheers.